so we're going to get back into our series. And like I said, last week was one of those that I kind of hyped it up a little bit, and hopefully it delivered, because I really enjoyed that particular one, especially with the practical experiences that I've had with that particular subject and the recentness of that. But this one subject we're going to get into is something that we've heard a lot about all the time. We speak about it all the time. We speak about this subject. And we're supposed to cry out for this subject. We're supposed to go after it with everything we have. We're supposed to envelop it in our lives. And sometimes it comes difficult. Sometimes it comes easy. And the subject I'm talking about is wisdom. Did you know that Holy Spirit can give you wisdom well beyond what you know and understand? Holy Spirit can do that. Wisdom and knowledge. And we're repeatedly told to seek out this wisdom. In fact, the Bible uses it so many times, like 216 times it talks about wisdom in there, and a lot of those have to do, if you want to hear about wisdom, you want to know about wisdom, you want to learn about wisdom, go to the book of Proverbs. It talks about wisdom consistently and constantly. We're supposed to have wisdom enveloped into our lives, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Those terms are used throughout the Bible. In fact, sometimes those terms are used in conjunction with each other, and sometimes they're used interchangeably with each other. You have to really pay attention to how the words are being used. But that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is something that we're supposed to have in our life. And you know what? That subject or wisdom or knowledge or understanding in your life can never be a negative thing. Did you hear what I said there? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding can never be negative in your life. You're always going to grow out of it in some way. You're going to receive something that you need to have. In fact, it says in the beginning that fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of the Lord, as we well know. We know it's about having respect. It's about being in awe. It's about having reverence for our Lord is actually the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom adds so much to life. Because God Himself is wisdom. He is wisdom. And this wisdom has been around since the beginning. Why? Because God has been around since the beginning. And wisdom is God. Proverbs 3:19 says this, "By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding He set the heavens in place." That is, was there when He laid the foundations of the earth. That when the heavens were being created, that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding were there, because He knew exactly what He was going to do. He knew how to do it. So He had wisdom, knowledge, and understanding when He created everything. It's part of His makeup, His very character. And in fact, we're told, that we're supposed to do these things. But wisdom and knowledge and understanding are not necessarily one of the flashy gifts that Holy Spirit can give us when it compares to, say, maybe healing or powers or miraculous events. Everybody concentrates on those specific things because they're kind of a, and it's not bad, not a bad flashy, but they're flashy. They're up. People recognize those things really inherently. They see those things, and that's what they desire. But we're told to desire wisdom, but easily gets overlooked. It gets overlooked in many ways, and it's necessary for the church to thrive and function and to live. We must have wisdom in our lives. We must have wisdom in the church so we can go on and we can do and we can build. And that same part of Proverbs in chapter 3, where I just read before in verse 13, it says this, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, who gain understanding." That when you find wisdom, that you're truly blessed. That when you gain understanding, you're truly blessed. And we don't really recognize the function of that and recognize the words of that until we get much older in life a lot of times. When we've seen more life, when we truly understand a lot more in our later years than we ever did in our younger years. It's not to say that we can't have that in our younger years. We can have wisdom. We can have understanding. We have knowledge. but we definitely get more of it as we go along, right? It builds up inside of us. But we're supposed to have that because we get blessed by it. In fact, there's a calling of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you have your apps with you, I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs and the book of Proverbs. And we're going to go to chapter 8. Now, I did not put this up here because I wanted you to follow along in your Bibles as I read through this in Proverbs. And in chapter 8, starting with verse 4, it says, "To you, O people, I call out, I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can be compared with her." Wisdom. Wisdom is to be sought over everything. Over everything in your life, God calls us to seek out wisdom and to have it in our life. We're supposed to ask for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask for it, right? You should ask God for that wisdom, who gives generously when you ask for those things. He gives to you without finding fault in you. And he says, if you ask for it, it will be given to you. Matthew 7:7 talks how we're supposed to ask and it will be given, to seek and we shall find, to knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who speaks and finds, or the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door is definitely open. We're supposed to do this with wisdom. We're supposed to ask for wisdom. We're supposed to seek wisdom. We're supposed to come up to the door of wisdom and knock so we can receive this wisdom that we so desperately need in our lives. A wisdom that is well beyond what we could figure out any other way. We're supposed to gain wisdom. We're supposed to gain wisdom at whatever it costs us, right? If you doubt that it's supposed to cost you something, you're supposed to seek it that far, you could still go through the book of Proverbs in chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, in the beginning of wisdom, it says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Although it may cost all you have, get understanding. Now, that's a hard subject to look at sometimes, because what we look at is, we look at, if it's supposed to cost all you have, we're supposed to get it. We automatically think of our physical needs. We automatically think of all the things that we accumulate in life, of our possessions and our goods, that we're supposed to give all that up. And the answer to that is, yes, if you need to get wisdom. But the point being here is that you're supposed to seek wisdom, to seek understanding and knowledge with everything that you have, with your entire being. To have that part of your makeup in life. Because I will guarantee you that when you have that wisdom, you have all of that, life will be much easier for you. Life becomes easier. I didn't say perfect. I didn't say you wouldn't have any problems. I said easier. Because you have understanding, because you have knowledge, because you have wisdom to apply teaching to a particular occurrence happening in your life. That we find that moment where it becomes much more peaceful in our lives. We're supposed to gain that wisdom, gain that understanding. We're supposed to do it. And there's four basic ways that I looked at that we can do that. And the four ways comes down to this. There might be many more they had out there, but to make it simple, I chose four. And I said the first one because you fear God. You love God. You have awe and respect and reverence for God. Because Scripture says if you do that, it's the beginning of wisdom. That you have God in your life. That there's people wandering around outside these walls that don't have God in their life, and they're wondering why they can't figure things out. It's because they don't have the wisdom. They don't fear God. They don't strive after Him. They don't love on Him. They don't allow them in their lives that they would chase something around that's not permanent. But our God is permanent, and His wisdom is permanent. And when we receive that, guess what happens? It becomes permanent for you, for me, for us, for all of those that would cling to God and say, I want this. That's one of the ways that we need to have God in our life, to fear Him, to let Him in. Another way to do it is that we actually have to desire it. Desire is a big thing. Desire is such a big thing. That's one of the reasons why I think God gives us a free will sometimes. Is He truly wants to know whether we desire it. And He would not make us do something that we don't desire to do. And that's so important, because He wants to know where our heart is at. He wants to know truly what we believe in and what we desire, what we want. He knows what we need, but He says, I want to know what you want also. And I want you to have and encompass wisdom in your life. And we need to desire that. So when we fear God, we desire wisdom, we go for it, and then we step forward and we find it in two different really places. The first one is our Word. For those who truly read the Word of God, you will find wisdom throughout these pages, throughout this entire book that has been written for nothing but for our enjoyment, our instruction, for our life, to make our lives better. This book was written for that. No other purpose. God doesn't need us to read this just so we'll believe in Him or know Him. He says, I'm going to write my laws on your heart and in your minds. I'm going to let you know that you know I'm there, whether you choose to disbelieve in me or not. You still know I'm there. He didn't need the book for this. This book is for our use, our need. This book is full of wisdom, understanding, knowledge. It's amazing the things that I wish I'd have known in my younger years that I would have read in this book, so I wouldn't have had to learn it the hard way. But I was foolish, and I didn't believe. Sometimes we think about, okay, if I could just go back in time, I'd do things a lot different. And that may be true. But if we went back in time, we did things different, we wouldn't be who we are right now, who we're supposed to be right now. But this book is for our benefit, that we find wisdom throughout the entire pages of this book, and that we could carry that and truly know that. People ask me, how do you know this is what God's saying? Well, says, I read it. I give you guys caution all the time. How are you supposed to know what I'm saying is up here true and factual if you don't read it? There are many people led astray because they don't fact check what's being said. Another way that we gain wisdom beyond that is we pray for it. Is we actually pray to God to send wisdom to us and say, Lord, I need wisdom. Sometimes I need wisdom to understand what He's saying. And it happens in that way, that we spend the time speaking to God and saying, we need this. God can develop that and give it to us in His Word. Yes, He can, but He can give it to us in experiences also, right? That's a way of gaining wisdom. But this wisdom that we get, these experiences, are all about taking that and applying it and learning it and making it and encompassing it into our lives so we can live a life of great pleasure, a life of just knowing God, a life of, well, fruit. A life of fruit. Sometimes gaining wisdom kind of hurts, though, doesn't it, folks? I can't tell you how many times I lived through that, of just being hurt because I'm experiencing wisdom through life. And it's not necessarily something we enjoy. I know I didn't enjoy it. If somebody enjoyed it, I want to hear that story. But we get there, and it can really hurt sometimes. But if we want to circumvent the experiences sometimes, but we want to circumvent the hurtfulness of it and learning wisdom, pay attention to the Word. Read the Word. Because it can bypass so many living experiences you might have to, you know, go through. And you just get the knowledge right away. To say, I remember reading this. I remember hearing about this. I remember the way that I need to deal with this in life instead of experiencing it and do it the wrong way and then learning the right way. Let's just cut to the chase and let's just do it the right way. And the Word that God speaks, the Word that God can speak into you through prayer can give you that opportunity. But you have to desire it. You have to be open to it. You have to want it. You got to have those. We don't always understand what God is telling us. I certainly don't understand. I've been reading the Bible now for a long time. There's probably people, I know there's people out here that have been reading it a lot longer than I have, and they don't understand every word on every page. Our Lord is so deep in what He's trying to convey to us. It's like sometimes it's like, wow. But I remember where I started, and I now know where I'm at. And it's revealed to us in time. We learn in time. As God reveals those things, He says, you're ready for this, and I'm going to give it to you. This is a gift I want to give to you, this gift of wisdom. I want you to seek it, and I'm going to give it to you. God's going to give this gift to you. It's not He might give this gift to you. He will give this gift to you. There's no doubt about it, but you have to want it. Holy Spirit reveals the Word to us. Holy Spirit allows us to grow in our Christian maturity so that we understand more about what our Lord is saying to us, more about what He's meaning for us, more about what He's wanting for us, more about what He needs from us, more about everything in life that's here on this earth, in the universe. He can reveal to us through Holy Spirit. It can come that way. And Holy Spirit can grant you wisdom above and beyond what you would truly believe or know in this life. Holy Spirit grants wisdom for certain situations or for life in general. He can grant that wisdom. He gives special abilities for those that want to deeply seek for a deeply into any known situation, that He can give you wisdom into a certain situations that are well beyond anything that you've experienced, heard of, or know about. You can ask, and Holy Spirit can reveal it to you. Holy Spirit, He delivers that wisdom. We get a look into how God sees things. Not how we see things, but how God sees things. We see Him from God's viewpoint. Holy Spirit reveals that to us. How to value properly the things which we are to believe through faith. God allows us to see those things properly through God's vision of how we're supposed to believe and value it, and how that's supposed to come into our faith and what we believe and how we are led in life. Faith is a big thing. We know this. It's not something that's well beyond what our wisdom is. We know faith is a big thing. But our faith can be revealed to us in much deeper attitude, in a much deeper way, by Holy Spirit, who grants wisdom into things God sees from His viewpoint. And it's so great to see that and to know that. God's genius is so much beyond the natural genius of nature, beyond our natural order of human genius, right? Paul wrote to his letter in Corinth on the first one. He says, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He says, for since in the wisdom of God, The world, through its wisdom, did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preaching to save those who believed. Right? Jews demand signs. Greeks demand or look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. That's us. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews, Greeks, Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. I want you to take a look at that again. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. I like to think of myself as a smart person, but that makes me look pretty foolish there. For those of you that know me, you know my history, you know what I've been through, you know the schooling I've done. And most people would not consider me to be unintelligible. But when I look at that, it's like, it makes me feel pretty foolish. For God's foolishness is wiser than anything I could ever attain by myself. That's the wisdom that comes from Holy Spirit, and let Holy Spirit move throughout your life. And the Holy Spirit can come down and he can give you that special manifestation of wisdom in your life. And that special manifestation can go a long ways. That special gift of wisdom can be applied in so many different ways in your life. He can give you wisdom to speak to dignitaries, to kings, to governors. In fact, he did that in Matthew chapter 10 where he says, on my account you will be brought before governors and kings. Right? You'll be brought before them to witness to them and the Gentiles. You'll be brought forward to do those things. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you say or how you say it. Because he says, I'm going to tell you what to say. Holy Spirit's going to come in and give you the words to say and to do. For it will not be you speaking, but Holy Spirit speaking through you. This is the part where most people check out. This is the part where people stop thinking about it, because Holy Spirit's praying through me. You mean I'm not controlling myself and doing these things? Well, we just got done talking about free will, right? God never takes away your free will. Never takes away your free will. Because he wants to know that you desire what's going on. That you desire that. That you desire Holy Spirit speaking through you and blessing you in this way. We're supposed to do that. That gift of wisdom can help us to speak in different ways to different people at all times. When we're asked, we're actually told that we need to defend our faith, right? Have you ever defended your faith? Have you ever had to actually defend your faith to anybody? If you have not, good chances are you're probably going to get to. If you're truly welcoming of your faith. If you truly have faith. Because the world does not necessarily see things as you see things. But if you speak to anybody about Jesus, you might have the chance to defend your faith. And we're supposed to defend our faith, right? We're supposed to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. To give the reason that we have hope. To give a reason why we believe. To give a reason. Peter talked about it, why we're supposed to do these things. He says, you're supposed to revere Christ and you're supposed to give a reason for this. To give an answer for everyone who says, why do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Why do you believe in him? Why do you follow him? And when we do that, we hopefully give them a modicum of hope in their lives to say, if you're not living this way and you want a better way of life, then Holy Spirit is going to use you to speak into their life. And to use you to give them life. That's what we're asked to do. God doesn't say, go out here and this is what you're going to do. He says, I want you to speak and give your story. That's it. But Holy Spirit allows you to give it in such a way that it means something to other people. Where we do it with gentleness and respect. And I'm sure you've been around some people sometimes that are trying to convince or persuade other people that faith in Jesus is the only way, and they're not doing it with gentleness and respect. And it doesn't work out that way. At least it doesn't work out well. Holy Spirit allows us to do those things, to speak in such a way, to reveal things in a non-confrontational manner for our everyday living, for interpreting God's truth, for problem solving. Wisdom is given through Holy Spirit. And oftentimes we come to it, we start to use these words like wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We think they all mean the same, but they don't all mean the same necessarily. We've talked about how to have understanding, you have to have knowledge first. To have wisdom, you have to have understanding. Because you need the knowledge, you need to know what it means and what it says to be able to apply it in life. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So wisdom and knowledge, even though they're used interchangeably sometimes in the Bible, are not the same necessarily. They're used differently in the Bible also. They mean different things. Wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, right? Would you agree with that? Wisdom is the application of knowledge, to use wisdom in your life. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts and to know things. And Holy Spirit gives that also. Do you guys know that you can gain knowledge from Holy Spirit? That He can give you knowledge that you would not necessarily have from any other person or any other way? There was a place in the garden that had a tree in it that had the tree of what? Knowledge. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, we know where that led to. But we also know that knowledge and wisdom needs to be sought. Solomon is well known for seeking out his wisdom, right? To being the wisest king, the wisest person that ruled. Do you know that King Solomon just didn't ask for wisdom, he asked for knowledge also? He did. 2 Chronicles, in chapter 1, verse 10, it talks about how Solomon said, "Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people." He needed wisdom and knowledge to lead and do a task that God had called him to, one that seemed daunting, one that seems almost, sometimes you ever get that point where you look at a task and it's just so daunting and so much seems so much out of the realm that we're capable of. And we come to God and we ask God, just give me the ability to do this. And usually God says, okay, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give you knowledge. I'm going to give you wisdom to complete these tasks that I've asked you to do. And that's where that knowledge comes in. Knowledge and wisdom are both needed very much, because wisdom actually includes knowledge. The book of Job, you have Job going through there and gaining knowledge and gaining wisdom through that entire process. You have his friends, even though they were speaking incorrectly, they were gaining knowledge, they were gaining wisdom through that entire time. And God reveals knowledge to us, and God, Holy Spirit, can reveal knowledge to us that is unknown anywhere else, that there's no way that anybody can know or have that knowledge. Even about a person, you can be a person that you have something going on in your life, and the next thing you know, you've not told anybody, but somebody comes up and says, I need to speak this into your life. That I know that these things are going on. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. Holy Spirit comes and He provides special information about a certain situation or a certain person that they have not shared with anybody. And the Holy Spirit can come up and reveal that to another person to help speak into their life. I can't tell you how many times I've visited with people that said, you know, I was on the brink of this and somebody came and spoke into my life. I said, there's no way they could have known it was happening. But they came up and they knew. Happens all the time. We look at those things in such grandeur that they don't happen every day, but they can happen every day. They can happen all the time. As long as you're open and you desire those things. We can be given information on something that we would have no other way of knowing. And I mean for a certain situation or a certain person, personal information. Jesus did it with Nathanael and he says, I saw you sitting by the fig tree. He wasn't there. Now it's Jesus, of course, right? Jesus also did it with the Samaritan woman at the well and said, I've known you've had five husbands. He didn't live with her. He didn't hear any tales or stories. Again, that's Jesus. But the thing is, these were revealed to him through Holy Spirit, just as Jesus' identity was revealed to Peter through Holy Spirit. These things are all available to us. But what we have to do is we must approach it in such a way as with a humble heart and desire those things. Because if we don't, when we're given a word of knowledge, we possess very specific and special information about people and about things. We possess personal information. And we have to be realizing in our heart that we can't go out and we can't talk about these things. We can't gossip about information we've been given. It can't be revealed to anybody or anything except for the purpose in which Holy Spirit has revealed it to you. This information was meant to help somebody. And that's why we're given it. We're given it to show God's heart in the way that He wants to show His heart. It's not meant to be flamboyant like healing. It's not meant to be flamboyant like, you know, powers, miracles, things like that. But it is still a miracle in its state. We never use that for personal gain. We never use it for anything other than what is intended. We have to be wise in that part. You have to be wise in the use of this gift and any other gift the Holy Spirit gives you. Your greatest knowledge is a knowledge of God. That knowledge of who He is, the knowledge of what He does, the knowledge that leads to faith. Faith in every aspect of your life in Him. You know, there's a famous saying out there in the world by Francis Bacon, says, knowledge is power. Well, knowledge and wisdom combined are powerful indeed. And when we use them correctly, it can lead to great things. And the Holy Spirit can give you those gifts to an abundance that you have not known or will not know any other way. All you have to do is seek and ask for them. But the Holy Spirit gives as He determines, right? We know this. Remember this. But these gifts are greater than anybody can imagine, like I said. But they must be used in faith. They must be used in humility. They must be used in restraint. Because every good gift that God gives should be used and must be used for His plans, for His church, for His kingdom, not for ours, for His. Because He is the glory. He is the one. He is the love beyond love. Our Prince of Princes. He is the one. So again, we know we want wisdom, but let's ask for wisdom beyond what we can learn naturally, beyond what we can see just with our eyes. Let's ask for that. Let's desire those gifts. And all these gifts we've gone through before in these previous weeks, and even the ones coming up in the next 2 weeks, let's desire those gifts the Holy Spirit can truly give. Not just the natural gifts of growing up around things and being there, but truly the manifestations that Holy Spirit can give to individual believers. These are the gifts that when you trust God wholly and completely, that He says, when you trust me like this, these can be given. have to trust. We have to have faith in her first. So we're going to learn. We're going to keep on going together, and we're going to be a part of that process. And we're just going to trust in God. We're going to follow His lead, and we're going to see where it goes, because I am truly interested in where it goes for each and every person, especially here. I can't wait to see that. It's going to be an awesome time. Amen.